With my situation, it's never been about the draft pick. I love coaching staff.
Love you, brother.
Love my teammates. Love the fan base in Green Bay. Incredible 16 years.
The Lombardi Trophy is going back home.
A lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP.
Touchdown!
Is he the MVP
or
what? It's just kind of about a philosophy. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. The people make an organization, and sometimes that gets forgotten.
Jalen Rose, I am David Jacoby.
What
we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it
we
that we do?
What they want.
Well, the people of Green Bay, the Packers fans, did they get what they want? One thing they wanted is Aaron Rodgers under center, and it looks like that will happen. The Eagle has landed. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay to attend training camp. However, it does not come at a cost. Jalen, he basically made a deal where this is essentially his last year under contract with the Packers. My question for you is, Mr. Rose, is this the last year he will be under center in Green Bay?
Absolutely. This is the last call for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And I applaud you, my brother, because you said it first, that you anticipated that he wasn't going to miss any games. That was before he allegedly got offered a contract extension this offseason. We don't know if that extension happened, that offer happened 3 months ago. We don't know if it happened 3 weeks ago. But either way, yes, he'll be under center. Not good for my Detroit Lions. However, to have him and Davante Adams playing their both final season in Green Bay, imagine those guys hitting free agency, Jacoby. A wide receiver one. And the reigning MVP, this is going to be great theater for the NFL this year.
One thing that needs to be noted is the post that they both simultaneously, they coordinated this. They both put up this post on social media, which is of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan giving each other a pound on the floor during The Last Dance. That is significant because it was known throughout the Chicago Bulls organization, not far from Green Bay, that it was going to be their last year together with the Bulls. This seems to insinuate that they both expect this to be their last year together with the Packers. Jalen, if you're the Packers organization, part of the concessions in Rodgers' new deal is that they will review the situation after this year. Isn't there a world in which they have another successful season, perhaps he's MVP again, the magic between him and Adams is perfect, that after this season they decide to make new deals with both of these players? Isn't that in play?
It has to be in play, because if it doesn't make dollars, it won't make sense. However, I think this relationship is fractured to the point of repair. As I mentioned, not only do I believe it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' final season, but Davante Adams' final season. And it doesn't seem unique in theory to see a quarterback that's been with the team 15 plus years or so end up retiring somewhere else. We've seen it happen with so many great players, from Joe Montana to Brett Favre and now Tom Brady, and we're going to see this with Aaron Rodgers as well. But what makes his situation unique is that he's the reigning MVP.
Yes.
And going into that year, they drafted his backup in the first round. And so now when you take those steps, you give him the leverage that he needs to come to you and say, y'all didn't take care of me and show me the kind of loyalty that I deserve. Y'all ain't take care of Davante and give him the kind of bread he deserved. Now it's championship year or bust. And this is for the Green Bay fans, a great opportunity to see if they can win a championship in this final year with the squad.
I would say that them going to the NFC Championship game in the last 2 years was exceeding expectations. I do not expect them to win the Super Bowl. And I expect, if Tommy, put up those concessions again. When you look at the list of things that were quote-unquote conceded from Aaron Rodgers, they all look to be in his favor. After this year, they're going to review what happened. Look at that one at the bottom. Mechanisms in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. What is that, a conference call? Like, are we doing a weekly meeting? Like, is it couples therapy? Like, what are mechanisms in place to address Rodgers' issues with team, Mr. Rose?
Well, here's the beauty, though. There are 31 other teams in the NFL that not get to jockey for position because they know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be available. They know Davante Adams is going to be available. Get your money right. Get your salary cap right. Get your draft choices right. And so this now becomes a win-win in theory for both sides, because the Green Bay Packers is not just going to lose him for nothing. That would be foolish. So they're going to get a hefty return for Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Now, Jalen, one thing you've pointed out is what Giannis in Wisconsin did. He signed the extension before he had to, just to calm the waters. So the storyline didn't follow them around all season long. Seems like Rodgers just did the opposite. After every single loss, we're going to ask if he has 1 foot out the door. After every win, we're going to ask if that's going to be enough to keep him there. This Packers drama is going to be alive and well throughout this entire season until the final snap of their season, and then we'll talk about it all offseason.
Oh, this is easy, dog. We got the theme song. Let's get Large Professor on the phone. We're looking at the front door all season. That's gonna be the headline.
I can't wait. This storyline is gonna drive the narrative all NFL season long. Jalen, every once in a while there's a news story that comes across that just makes me angry, and the next is one of those. Last time we talked about Cade Cunningham, he was at a Tigers game, he was listening to Detroit music, he was acclimating himself for Detroit, and now your Countdown crew brother, Adrian Wojnarowski, took his Twitter fingers out and tweeted this. I can't believe I'm reading this. Detroit's internal meetings are still revolving around three players for the number one pick on Thursday night. Cunningham, Green, Mobley. Sources tell ESPN, Detroit isn't fully there yet on committing to Cunningham with the first overall choice. What are they doing, Jalen? What are they doing? This is so dumb. Just why play these mind games? Commit to Cade, draft Cade, move on with your franchise. What is happening here, Jalen Rose?
I like your approach, and I agree with your mentality. But when they're in the position that they're in, you got to field these calls. Somebody might call with a deal that you can't turn down. I get that. But ultimately, I believe he's going to be the pick. But here's what happens sometimes in workouts too, Jacoby. If you notice, when we're watching Cade's highlights, they're not necessarily high-flying, right? They're not like oohs and ahs above the rim. He's actually a skilled basketball player that does it in all facets, right? And so what ends up, I'm pretty sure, happening, you get in some of these workouts with these freak athletes like Mobley and Jalen Green, and all of a sudden these pogo sticks have you like, oh man, hold on. Like, wait a minute, are we sure about this? That's just how the game works. But I think cooler heads are gonna prevail. I think he ultimately becomes the number one pick. And you and I have mentioned this. It's one thing to have the top pick. It's another thing to have a consensus player to take. Yes. Cade Cunningham is that player for this draft.
I'm concerned about this for the Pistons, because, you know, I don't love the Pistons, but I love you, and you love the Pistons so much that I'm forced to deal with them. And if they mess this up, I'll be so upset, because I know you're working the draft. If they don't pick Cunningham at number one, you're going to walk off the set. You'll be at my crib like 10 minutes after the number one pick if they don't draft Cunningham. This is such a no-brainer. Detroit Pistons organization, do it for the city. Do it for the team. This is a player that you can build around. There are other impressive prospects in this draft. I understand that. But keep your eyes on the prize. Draft Cade Cunningham, number one. Please, please, for Jalen Rose. Moving on, it is time to show me some Shohei. Shohei Ohtani continues to impress consistently all season long. Last night, 7 innings pitched. 1 earned run. Didn't hit a home run, but had an RBI. And get this, this dude had a hit through 7 innings and had a stolen base on the same night. Like, he's doing things that have never been seen before in baseball.
And I saw him clock 100 miles an hour as well, dog. Like, he got me watching the Angels play, forgetting that their team isn't good. Soon as they took him out of the game, the other squad started getting runs. I'm like, wow, the effect that this guy has on the game is tremendous. And for a guy to hit for power the way he does, that has the ability to steal bases. I saw the man trot to right field at some point this season. The smooth lefty has become must-see TV. I'm telling you, Jacoby, let's gas up the caravan. The minivan, however you want to do it, and let's go follow Shohei when the NBA season eventually concludes after the draft.
A couple things. Number one, Jalen, there's no chance we're driving long distances together. You're too rich for that. We'll be on a plane. And number two, you've committed yourself to so much this quote-unquote offseason. There's no way you can be everywhere that you've committed to. But I will see you at the Drew League. That's what I want to do with you. I'm not going to follow Shohei Ohtani around, but I will be at the Drew League. I will be at Dykeman. I will be at Rucker. I will be at the Seattle Pro-Am with you. Jalen, coming up next, there's some rumors. There's some whispers that Ben Simmons is not picking up the Sixers' calls. Usually the offseason for Simmons means a bunch of jump shots. Not this time. We'll tell you all about it right after this. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the Seaport District of New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, presented by Chase. Jalen Rose. There are some whispers. There are some rumors from Bleacher Report that Ben Simmons and the Sixers are not seeing eye to eye this offseason, so much so that they haven't really been communicating like they normally do during the offseason. Obviously, Simmons was offered in a trade for James Harden, and then once the Sixers season was over, there are a lot of rumors about him leaving town. Jalen, what does this tell you about the Simmons-Sixers relationship?
Basic professional etiquette 101. If your job or your boss reaches out to you that happens to be paying you millions of dollars, you should return the call. Just normal protocol. But in all honesty, I feel like this relationship is going to end with Ben Simmons ultimately being traded. I think that's why he's not necessarily returning their calls, because he knows that they're shopping him. And the one thing about getting traded, and you know I can relate because I've been moved multiple times, is sometimes you see it coming. And then also before it happens, people assassinate your character. Then they say things like this that people don't know if they're true or not. So the fans that you do have are not upset that you got moved. It's a weird mental gymnastic that happens in professional sports. But with that being said, the way he performed in the playoffs, in their final series, and particularly his lack of productivity in the fourth quarter, you can't have him and Joel Embiid being your two best players and feel like that you're going to contend for a championship. When they're at their best, they occupy the same space on the floor, the colored area.
I really think that if he were to be traded to another team, it would be mutually beneficial for both franchises. I'm big on Ben Simmons, and I would definitely be in the market for him were I a GM around the league. I think he's extremely productive. He is the second vote-getter in Defensive Player of the Year, the second best defender in the entire league, a great passer, has great vision, and without Joel Embiid on the floor, there's another team, another chemistry, another offense for him in which he will be very successful. And I also understand maybe he doesn't want to talk. They literally offered him in a trade already. Once the buzzer was over in the Hawks series, they put him on 17 different teams in the media. I understand why he feels a certain way, and I hope that for him and the Sixers, this ends up in a fair trade for both teams.
Everything you say is A-plus spot on, my brother, and I want to add to that. The Philadelphia 76ers, in theory, are the only team that have an anchor close player like Joel Embiid that requires them to run their offense that way. If you look around the league, the floor is normally spread. And a guy like Ben Simmons now, who embodies positionless basketball, is able to take advantage of his athleticism, his quickness, his speed, and his ability to finish. But if you have Joel Embiid, of course you need to feature him. And so that's the dilemma that they have. He's their franchise player. Ben is going to end up somewhere else. And I, like you, know that he's going to ball when he gets to his next destination. He's going to do work at his next destination. So everybody that get a chance to assassinate his character and talking about how he's spending his offseason and talking about how much a house that he's hanging out in California costs, all of that is irrelevant. When the season starts and or when Ben Simmons get traded, trust me, he's going to go somewhere else and do work and still be an all-star level player.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be a die easy fan of that team, no matter what team it is in the National Basketball Association. Jalen Rose, moving on to a player that you always have some insight on, and that is a trade between the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. And I say Jonas Valanciunas because you know that Jonas Valanciunas was very important to the Grizzlies' success this season. He is now going to be on the Pelicans. Steven Adams and a pick move to the Grizzlies. Mr. Rose, what do you think the real significance of this move is?
To open up the floor for Ja Morant's ability to drive. Kind of like what we just said indirectly about Joel Embiid. Valanciunas has been a productive big, right? A double-double guy that could get you a couple of blocks. For me, he was, this season, their third most important player behind Ja Morant. And you know how much I like Dylan Brooks. And I'm glad he made his name for himself. And so, on paper, it's a little head-scratching initially. On paper, this is a little head-scratching because Steven Adams ain't going to give you the offense. He hasn't given the productivity recently. Eric Bledsoe, when the Pelicans moved on from him, when the Bucks moved on from Eric Bledsoe, they only went and won the championship with Drew Holiday. And so it to me, seems more of a salary dump to try to acquire more assets. And I'm not overall upset at it for either team. Zion's going to need a guy to play alongside of that's taller than him that can get some post offense. But late in games, here's what I want you to watch for. Who do the Pelicans have on the floor? That's the key. Because to me, when Zion is at his best, he's point center. I've been talking about his handle. I've been talking about his passing since Duke. I don't necessarily see him and Brandon Ingram falling into the roles of traditional three, traditional four with Valanciunas at the five. I don't think that gives them enough spacing in particular with those two big guys late in games. So it's going to be interesting to see how Willie Green navigates that. But overall, I think they were just trying to build out their roster and get more assets and ultimately keep Zion happy. That's what you're trying to do.
And the Pelicans do have some more cap space getting off the Bledsoe and the Steven Adams contracts. Jalen, moving on to the Saints. We always talk about this quarterback challenge between Hill and Winston. Now, Mr. Rose, there's news that Michael Thomas' injury will keep him on the PUP list through training camp and potentially miss games in the regular season. How do you think that affects this quarterback competition they have in New Orleans?
I'm just so very fortunate that I'm completing, I guess, my 14th or 15th season doing NBA coverage, and I've never taken a day off during the season. I've never been on the PUP list. So very fortunate. With that being said, you and I ain't talking about no quarterback debate with the Saints. Mm-hmm. We brought Cam Jordan on the show, and we asked him, what do you think about Taysom Hill? What do you think about Jameis Winston? Matter of fact, if Drew Brees isn't out there, what do you think about the quarterback job? He never mentioned the Swiss Army knife Taysom Hill. He only talked about Jameis Winston. That guy deserves to be under center. I think he will be under center, but without Michael Thomas, now clearly you're going to need to be more creative. So it's going to be a lot of plays that they probably are on the field together now to create different looks for the defense.
Absolutely. Now, Jalen Rose, before we go to break, I have to celebrate cousin Lydia Jacoby from Alaska. Lydia Jacoby, the first Alaskan swimmer to ever win Olympic gold. Shout to you, Lydia. Cousin Lydia out there getting gold medals, upsetting the competition. Jacobies are everywhere. Forget Jalen's. Jacobies are the future. In the future, I will have a big personal reveal right after this short break. You don't want to miss it. Thursday night, 8 p.m., it is the NBA draft. Will the Pistons draft Cade Cunningham with the number one pick, or will they break Jalen Rose's heart? Find out Thursday night at 8 p.m., the entire draft, first round on ABC. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I noticed you've been cheating on us. You went on the talk yesterday and today. Look at the white suit. How's the experience?
Shout to Cheryl Underwood and everybody at the talk. I appreciate the opportunity to host yesterday. I'll be back on today. Big shout out to my stylist, Kenny Wallace, who had me crisp. Shout out to my brother, Shiz, who allowed me to rock his frames in the last minute to put the look together. And in all honesty, I had a great time, Jacoby. You know it don't stop. The Renaissance man showing the versatility.
Jalen, I want to share with our audience my experience with COVID. I tested positive for COVID after being vaccinated just a couple weeks ago. It was shocking because I felt that the vaccination protected me. However, the vaccination did protect me from severe symptoms. I was sick for a few days and I got better. My kids and my wife all tested negative. I was so thankful for that as I quarantined in a hotel room. However, my kids, some people say kids don't get affected by the coronavirus. Yes, they do. My kids got sick. They had fevers. They were on the couch. My wife, who was also vaccinated, tested negative, so she was able to care for my children. I came home. She was able to care for me. My wife is an absolute trooper and the best woman in the world, Joey Jacoby. But a couple things I want to say. Get vaccinated. Proof the vaccine works. My wife was around COVID all week, did not get sick. Proof the vaccine works. My symptoms were pretty mild in comparison to other COVID cases. And another thing that needs to be dispelled is kids can get sick. Make sure you protect yourself and protect your family. This disease is serious. Get vaccinated.
Protect your neck. What up, though?
What's happening?
What's good? What's good?
What up, though?
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is podcast exclusive content. Joining us today, star of the NCAA tournament, future yes. NBA star,
yes.
Michigan Wolverine, Sean yes. D. Brown joins the show. What's happening?
How you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Just enjoying this whole process right now.
Hey, I must say this. Thank you so very much for joining the show. I appreciate all of your sacrifices for the program, my brother. Your leadership, your effort, your productivity, your loyalty. Players like you help build programs. So as an alum, I'm forever grateful to what you've done at the University of Michigan, and I know it's just going to be bigger and better things headed in your future.
Appreciate you. Thank you guys for having me today.
Of course, of course. Sean D. Brown Jr. joining us, former Wolverine, future NBA player. Tell me about the pre-draft process. What's it like working out for teams, being evaluated? What's your agent hearing? Where do you think you're going to get picked? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, most definitely a blessing. I know that I've been training for this my whole life, and for me to actually be in this moment is just a blessing. I got to thank God, my family, coaches, everyone that helped me get here. But I've just been working so hard, and it's been definitely still tiring, but it's also a lot of fun, competing against guys and workouts that you played against in the past couple years, and getting to know each other and just getting to know more about the game, actually coaching things and what can you know more about. But it has definitely been a blessing. Just talking to my agent, it's up in the air for me. So it's just a lot of excitement going around, and I'm just ready for the next step.
So what does an average day look like as it relates to you getting ready for the draft process? So many people see the final result of athletes, but they don't understand the time, the sacrifices, and the effort that go into this process. So what's an average day look like for you these days?
Wake up around 6-7. For me, work out about half an hour, 2 hours. Nap, go in the afternoon, do strength and conditioning. Recovery, a lot of stretching, and by the time it's like 8-9 o'clock at night, so you got to restart your day. But it's wow. definitely busy. It's really a busy day. But like I said, this is what I want for my future, and I want to be in the NBA. So I know it consists of a full day.
What teams have you worked out for, and what teams have shown interest?
I worked out for Lakers, Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, Indiana, and Phoenix. And it's a lot of them have been showing a lot of interest. I can't really say who's been the top, but a lot of them been talking to my agent, here and there for sure. But I couldn't say, which one is showing the most interest.
As athletes, we assess ourselves, and people like to compare us. Throughout this process, whether it's your agent or other teams, or even yourself, is there certain players that resemble your game or you hope to mimic once you make it to the NBA?
Yeah, most definitely. I look at the 3-and-D guys in the NBA right now. I feel like that would be my role in the NBA. A lot of PJ Tucker and Jay Crowder mostly I've been watching. And the ones that, you know, does the dirty work and, you know, can hit open shots. And I feel like I said, that would be my role in the NBA. But especially PJ Tucker, he just does everything that doesn't show up in the box score. And that's a person I feel like, you know, I did at Michigan. And I feel like that would be my role in the NBA. But, yeah, I just want to be that guy that's willing to put his body out for a team. And, you know, it always don't show up in the stat sheet. But, you know, at the end of the day, that I know that, you know, I help my team out in a way.
This offseason, what facets of your game have you been working on to make yourself league ready?
Yeah, a lot of ball handling, coming off screens, making the right decisions for the team, and just sharpening up on everything, to be honest. I know that, you know, I'm on my way to the NBA, and I just need to sharpen up on everything. So, you know, just shooting, ball handling, you know, doing things while you're uncomfortable and tired, most definitely, because I know you're not always going to be fresh. Especially with a, you know, 82-game stretch, well, 70 now, but I know your body's not always going to be in the best shape or form, so you just got to just push through fatigue, you know, even the days when you don't work out, just getting up and doing it, because, you know, it's going to benefit you, so.
I love the Jay Crowder and PJ Tucker comps. I love those very much. But I want to ask you a fun question. What music you listening to these days? What you bouncing?
Man. A lot of Gunna, DaBaby, Lil Baby, Future, Drake, a lot of people like that.
Nope. Now, when you were at Michigan, you had the honor to play for Coach Howard. Describe the experience of playing for Coach Howard. Like, what kind of a coach was he?
Amazing coach. Players coach, most of all. Keeps it real with you. If you're not giving your 100% every day, he's going to get on you. And that's what type of coach, you know, I would like to play for in the NBA. And that's the type of coach I need. And that's why I came to Michigan my last year. As soon as he reached out to me, I could tell that he was real. And you could tell he's a winner. And, you know, going into my last year, I wanted to play in the tournament and show teams I can play with, you know, a lot of great guys, you know, around me and succeed at the same time. So, yeah, players coach, keeps real with you. Off the court, he's really cool. But on the court, he's all about business. And you can tell he really cares about the game. So.
Well, keep working hard. Hail to the victors. I'm one phone call away. Don't hesitate to reach out. Good days, bad days. It's all love, my brother. You're going to do great on the next level. Sending all love and support.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Thanks so much for taking the time. Sean D. Brown Jr., soon to be drafted into the NBA. You will see him wearing Jerry West on his chest before long. Thanks so much for taking the time. Want to thank Sean D. Brown Jr. for coming through, spending some time with us on the podcast. It's always good to see Wolverines make the leap to the league, Jalen Rose. Seems like there's a couple in every single first round nowadays.
Absolutely, and I meant what I said. Players like him are program starters. And what that means is you're invested in we more than me. And that's what he brought to the locker room. That's what he brought to the floor. And I know how much Juwan and the staff enjoy coaching him and his teammates love playing with him. And then the other thing is I like to ask players sometimes who they feel their comp is, because it's one thing to have a role. It's another thing to accept it and master it. Mm. You know what I mean? And so if he would have came on the show and be like, my game resembled Kevin Durant, then I would have had to call him when we got done with the interview. Be like, hold on, young fella. We need to have a heart-to-heart right now. You know what I'm saying? But the guys he mentioned, 3-and-D guys, that's exactly the vein of his game. And I think he has an opportunity to be that in the league. And it's going to be great to watch him develop.
Tommy, take me full. I want to talk about COVID. So, Jalen, we talked about during the TV show about me getting COVID, but I want to go into more detail about the experience, Mr. Rose, because you know from the jump that I had it. I was shocked when I tested positive. When the doctor came in the office and told me that I was positive for COVID, I was shocked. The numbers in New York City were so low at that time. And I was fully vaccinated, had the one-shot vaccination. I really thought I was protected. But I want to say that for anyone considering that this is a reason not to get the vaccine, they're absolutely wrong. Because my symptoms were minimal. I only got sick for a few days. It wasn't that bad. And the vaccination protected me from getting hospitalized, for being sick for months and things of that nature. And also, I saw the vaccine work on my wife. My wife was taking care of two sick kids. I was in the house. Our apartment turned into the COVID cove. We were locked in there, COVID droplets everywhere. My wife did not get sick, never tested positive. She was protected by the vaccine. So if you're considering getting the vaccine, get the vaccine. Another thing that people say is, oh, kids don't get COVID or kids don't get symptoms. Yeah, they do. My son Quincy, my daughter Chloe, they were laid up on the couch. Fevers, didn't want to eat, didn't want to move, didn't want to talk. It was so depressing to see them, because any parent knows, and you're a parent, when your kids are sick, you want to do everything just to take that sickness out of their body and put it in yours. And it was such a heartbreaking scene around the house to see my kids sick due to the COVID virus that I brought into the home. And another thing, Jalen, I was eating some hummus with falafel, put some hot sauce in there. Put some more hot sauce in there. When I went to my third dose of hot sauce, I was like, wait a second. This hot sauce isn't hitting the way it normally does. And that's when I realized I couldn't smell anything. Come on, Reg. You know I hate that. I hate the fart sound so much, Reg. I couldn't smell anything. Could not smell a thing. Put my nose in the hot sauce and couldn't smell it. Nose in the hot sauce, Jalen. Also, I'm in the bedroom, walking around, doing stuff. I fart. My mom walks in. I hate it, Reg. My mom walks in the room. My wife walks in the room. And she was like, that's disgusting. I was like, what are you talking about? I forgot that I farted. Couldn't even smell my own farts, Jalen. Couldn't even smell my own disgusting farts.
That's hilarious.
This COVID thing is real. I still have like a little headache behind my eyes. I still don't have my full smelling ability. You know, there's lingering effects. Thank God my kids got over it quick. I think the kids do a lot better with COVID symptoms than adults. But it was a trip, man. It was a real trip. I was quarantined at a hotel, a cheap hotel in Manhattan. My kids and my wife tested negative, so I thought it was just going to be me in a hotel for 10 days. Then come to find out, 2 days later, they developed symptoms. We all got tested. My wife is negative. I'm positive. My son is positive. One of my twins is positive. My other twin is negative.
Wow.
So one of my children just straight up didn't get it. I don't know if she has antibodies because she got it before. Some people just don't get COVID. She apparently, I think COVID was scared of her. She's mean. I think COVID was scared of her. But as you know that the Delta variant is affecting vaccinated people, and you've been traveling around, you've been in packed arenas. Like, is it in the back of your mind? Like, when I was watching the Deer District and I had the Delta variant, I was looking at the Deer District like, oh no. Oh no, 65,000 maskless people all screaming at each other. How did you navigate that while you were on the road?
See, the one thing about, I walk by faith, not by sight. And I'm gonna always play defense outside of basketball to protect myself on situations that I can avoid. So I'm still socially distancing. I'm still wearing masks. In certain places, in particular in Florida and in Georgia and in Michigan, when I'm in those places, I walk in like restaurants or different spots. Sometimes I'm one of the only people actually still wearing a mask. And I'm looking around like, you just said, like y'all heard of something called the Delta variant. And for JRLA, Jacoby, we're gonna set up another set of vaccination shots for our staff and for our students the final day of summer school and then the beginning of school year, because our goal is to hope that our entire staff and student body gets vaccinated as well. And so for me, continuing to socially distance, I am fully vaccinated, as you know, but also respectfully, and that's why I started by saying I walk by faith, not by sight. When the coronavirus first started, what did I look to you and say about how it's going to affect me?
I don't get sick.
I don't get sick. Like, I'll never get an email from nobody to say this, but you have never seen me say I was sick or have to miss a day. Never.
I haven't missed a day either. I've been sick, but correct. I haven't missed a day.
That's where I was going next. So, if for you, you had the actual coronavirus, was in a hotel during the show, and you never missed a day. So, for the people who support our program, like, when we say we give the people what we want, what they want, like, we stand on that. We stand on that. And I've seen Jacoby have twins and not miss shows. I've lost my mom, my brother, and my grandmother, didn't miss shows. And so what that tells me is this is therapeutic for us in a lot of ways. And so I Absolutely. Appreciate you sharing that private story with the audience. Because you just saying that, I promise you, you're going to get one more person vaccinated. Just by you saying that, you're going to get one more person vaccinated, and that's worth it.
Because if you think for a second, well, Jacoby got vaccinated and he still got it, so why should I get vaccinated? Because it is scientific fact that the symptoms are lessened by the vaccination. If you have those vaccine antibodies running through your system, if you contact and get the virus like I did, the symptoms will be lessened by the vaccination. And I'm so glad that is the case for me because it was pretty bad. It got weird for a while. And one thing that was very strange, Jalen, is once I tested positive, I had to function in society. I still had to get home, right?
Ooh.
So, like, I'm walking home and, like, the doorman wants to give me a fist bump. And, like, I would go to the elevator bank of my apartment and, like, someone else would be waiting for the elevator. And I would pretend I had to go to my mailbox because I don't want to get in the elevator with them. So then right. I had to, like, pretend to go to my mailbox. Then someone else is waiting. I had to pretend to go to my mailbox right. again. And, like, I used the ATM to take out some money because you always need a little cash. And I, without thinking, I pushed the ATM buttons. And I was like, wait a second. Did I just get someone else COVID? Like, walking wow. around, like, someone recognized me and wanted to take a picture. But I couldn't take my mask off. I didn't want to get near them. Like, it was just having the disease and knowing that you are contagious with this deadly disease is one of the most unnerving feelings, especially walking around Manhattan, seeing everybody without a mask. All these people living their regular lives without COVID, knowing that I could give them COVID was one of the stranger feelings, which is why I just stayed in that. I stayed in that hotel room. They kept knocking on the door, be like, do you need new towels? Do you need sheets? I was like, nah, dog, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not even opening the door. Like, I know the service staff of this hotel was like, there's some dude in 1432. I haven't seen his face.
Right.
He hasn't gotten any new towels. I haven't changed right. his sheets. Like, I don't know what's going on in there, but I don't want to know what's going on in there. That was a wild experience. I appreciate Sean D. Brown Jr. for coming on the show. Appreciate you guys listening to me. Make sure you go out and get vaccinated. We'll protect you and your family from the coronavirus. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.